praise you. Oh, once again, on the day of your resurrection, we can all get together here. Lord, we want to consecrate ourselves to you and consecrate this meeting into your hand. We pray that you will give us your rich presence. Lord, we don't want anything else. We just want to love you. And we thank you. We know you love us. Lord, we praise you, Lord. Together we can praise you, and together we can love you, Lord. And together we can listen to your speaking. Lord, we just give everything to your hand. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. As you know that this week, the burden we will fellowship and get into is that let us read this together, okay? If you have the all these verses here, you should have the, on the top, you have this topic. Let's declare this together. Living and fellowshipping with God. Okay, it seems that mine is much longer. How long? Okay. It says.
Yeah, that's the coming week.
Oh, okay. So the next week, much longer than this week. So then, so you don't have to worry that the message will be too long. No. So let's declare the short topic together. Living in fellowship with God. Right. All we Christians, what kind of life we should live? Here is very clear. We need to live this kind of life. What kind of life? We should live a kind of life is that we all the time we fellowship with God. This is the proper living of a Christian. And so if we live a life that's not in the fellowship with God, then we are wasting our time. And therefore, I really like this topic, and this is my burden. And I just very briefly, I believe many of you, those who know me, you know that I was not from a Christian background. My family, I'm the first one who believed in the Lord. And so that was during the Second World War. And the Second World War, United States and Japan fought the war for 4 years. But in China, Japan invaded China 4 years earlier. So with China, we had 8 years war. And so during those 8 years that we were in inland China, and so many material things is very short, and we all live in a very difficult situation. Actually, all the children did not have toys. And so what is our we play? We did not have any, so we just have two group of people, and one run after another. One behave like policeman, another group like someone just robbed the bank, so try to run away. So that was the kind of thing we have. So we did not have any things that we can play with. But then, how did I become a Christian? Even though in my family there was no Christians, but the principal of my elementary school, she is, I say yes because I hope she's still alive, and definitely she is a Christian. So then because of this, she hired a pastor to our school. And so they have a special 2 hours lesson. It's called this lesson is to train our morality. That is the topic of that. Actually, it's like today's Sunday, they call it Sunday morning, Sunday school. Yeah, but that time she just used that name. So in that 2 hours, this pastor will tell us some Bible stories. At that time in inland China, we did not have kindergarten. Therefore, once we started going to school, we would go to the first grade. So that means when I was 4 years old, so supposed to go to school, so I get into a first year. So we all started very early. Why do I say this? Because we started school early, therefore our mind was trained earlier. And with our mind trained, even when I was 6 years old, I already very critical to this pastor. Because one day he tells the story of Adam and Eve. And so he told us that Eve ate an apple. And so she ate an apple, the whole apple. But then she gave an apple to her husband, Adam. Adam only ate half of the apple, and God came. So he did not finish the apple. Therefore, today, man has this, how do you call this? Apple. Adam's apple, right. So then, at that time, I was wondering. I said, this could not be in the Bible. If the Bible is the Bible, it will not talk about all this kind of nonsense. And so I did not like this pastor. But one thing what he said got into me. That was, he said, there's a God. Our God is living. Our God is real. Then he said, because God is living, and therefore, whatever you want, you just pray to him, and he will give it to you. Oh, this I heard. So start from that time on, I pray every night. Every night, I gave the Lord a long, shopping list. And so a long, long list. And so that was my prayer. But then, not too long after that, I had a cousin. She was 15 years older than I am. And I don't know from where did she hear the gospel, but one day she saw that I pray every night. Then she told me, I think she went to a Christian high school, so she told me, she said, you know, for the Christians, the prayer is not something outward formality. And to pray is to tell God what is in your heart. This is the real prayer. So then I took that. I thought, because I knew no one around me knew the Lord and knew the Bible. And so when my cousin told me this, I was very happy, that at least I know how to know the law. And so that is, we need to turn our heart to the Lord, and we need to, our prayer should be that we just tell God what is within our heart. And so start from that time on, I still keep that long shopping list. But in addition to this, I try to speak to God. Whatever is in my heart, I just start to speak to God. And because my cousin said, when we human beings talk to each other, we have a conversation. If you talk to God, then that is the prayers. So whether it's right or not, I don't know, but this is what I told. And so I started to talk to the Lord every night. And so then later, many years later, I discovered I was saved. That's another story, but really, I don't have time. And that was not my burden this morning. But when I was 9 years old, I already had the really assurance that I had been saved. And then I still have the habit to pray. And so then when, as I was praying, then sometimes it seems the Lord also speak to me. And so then I, in the beginning, I did not pay much attention to this. But one day, when I was taking, that was when I was 9 or 10 years old. When I was taking a bath, all of a sudden, I had some feeling within, and it seems that this small voice, of course, it's not a physical voice, and that all of a sudden I had this feeling or this question. It says that this water can wash all the dirt of your physical body, but how about your sin? Then at that time, because I did not have the background, I did not know the blood of Jesus will wash our sins away. But by that time, I not only pray every night, and every night I also read a chapter of the Bible. So I remember somewhere in the Bible had this talk about this. Later I discovered it was in the book of Acts, the chapter 9, and that was Ananias. We all know the story, and Saul wanted to persecute the Christianity, the Christians, and then the Lord used the light shone upon Saul, and so all his eyes were blind, and so then in chapter 9, the Lord sent Ananias to talk to Saul. And so I still vaguely remember that Ananias at the very beginning and said to the Lord and told the Lord that this Saul was terrible. He did many evil things, and he persecuted the Christians, and he was on the way trying to get more Christians and that he could put in the prison. So Ananias talked a lot about the evil things Saul did. But later, of course, you need know the story, and so the Lord told Ananias that Saul was the vessel that he chosen, and so then later Ananias baptized Saul. So in other words, even though Saul committed many evil things, that is, many sins, and then eventually he was baptized. Why I want to say this? Because at that time, even though I really believe in the Lord, but I had already decided I would not be baptized until when I was 80 years old. And because I think by 80 years old, then pretty much I have enjoyed all the things in the world. So by that time, I can be baptized, and so, but whatever. And so then I, but that day, when I was taking the bath, then this feeling came to me, then what will happen? So then I thought that the Bible evidently very clearly to say that if I can be baptized, then just like Saul, he was baptized, so many of his sins were washed away. So then that was my understanding. But then when that Lord's Day, when I went to the meeting hall, that time it was in, I was in Taipei, the church in Taipei Hall 1, very close to my home. And I just walked less than 5 minutes, could go to the meeting. So that Lord's Day morning, I walked to the meeting, and then they announced they had baptism. By that time, the local churches, all including the church in Taipei, they were very much influenced by the brethren. And so before the baptism, they still need to have some, not official test, but some serving ones or some elders will interview you. In other words, they don't want to baptize anyone who are not really saved. And so we all have to register. So then on Friday night. But then at that time, I feel to be baptized. On one hand, I thought I was just thinking about baptism, and then they announced that we have this baptism. But then I still thought to be baptized is a big thing. And so especially in my family, no one was baptized. So I did not went to register. But that weekend in Hall 1, they had 700 people baptized. So they could not finish in one weekend. So then the following the Lord's Day, when I went to the meeting, they announced again. They said because we had too many wanted to be baptized, and we could not finish the first weekend. So if anyone want to be baptized, now you still can register. You can this coming weekend. Now, since they announced twice in a row, then I think this must be of the Lord. So then that's why and that's how I was baptized. Amen. And I really believe what voice, whether you call it inspiration or whether you call it in a small voice, whatever, but I really believe that was the Lord speaking to me. And why I have the assurance, because at the time when, during that time I was in Taipei, my mother went to Hong Kong, because when the communists came to pick up Shanghai, and we left Shanghai in hurry, and so my family left many things in Shanghai. So that time, my mother went to Hong Kong and tried to get some friends to get some things get out of China. So my mother was in Hong Kong. Why I want to say this? Because when he was in Hong Kong, he met one of her high school teacher. And that high school teacher of my mother, she was a Catholic nun. So this Catholic nun brought my mother to Catholic church. And so after I was baptized, 2 days, I received a letter from my mother. And she said she had joined the Catholic church. She also asked me to join the Catholic church. And since I was baptized in Taiwan, in Taipei, so I did not go to join the Catholic church. Now, if I was not baptized, I don't know where will I be today. And therefore, I really believe this is not superstition, and it's really when we talk to the Lord can talk back to us. And so not only this, then this experience become continued. Had this kind of experience. In other words, just if I have, because we had one elder in Hall 1, he was a very heavyset brother. He, at that time, we did not have calling on the name of the Lord. But this elder, not in a loud voice, he all the time said, "Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, I love you, Lord." He, as he was walking, and he would just talk to the Lord that way. And so, but most of us young ones, did not follow that example. But then, we did learn, the church did, taught us the lesson of obey the teaching of the anointing. And so, if you want to learn the teaching of anointing, then we need to speak to the Lord. And then, the more we speak, and the more we will hear the Lord's speaking. And you know, I like Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And so, when I started to pray read, and they, the other time, the serving ones already help us that not only the direct pray, direct reading, but they also taught us how to practice the personal prayer reading. And therefore, in the personal prayer reading, we really had a very intimate fellowship with the Lord. We talk to him, and he talked to us. And so I like that verse, Genesis 1:26. I often, in the beginning, I often pray-read that verse. In the beginning, it says, "And God said," just these few words, "And God said." And then, as I was pray-reading that verse, "As God said," then I started to talk to God again. I said, "God, why you speak to so many other people? You speak to Watchman Nee, Brother Lee, and many other brothers and sisters, but why you don't speak to me?" And then, in the beginning, seems the Lord did not answer my, I did not hear anything from the Lord. But then I continued to try to talk to the Lord. One day, really, it seems the Lord was speaking to me. He said, "It's not I did not speak to you. You don't give me the opportunity." Because that time, of course, I was still in the high school, and to pass the university entrance exam is a very, very, really big pressure on us. And so So my morning revival, or my that time morning watch, I only had 2 or 3 minutes to pray, and then just quickly go to the school. And but then the Lord said to me that you did not give me the time. Then because it seems the Lord spoke to me that way. Then I started to have longer morning watch. Then later, I continued praying that verse, and it seems that the Lord, another time, he said, I did speak to you, but you don't want to listen, or you don't obey what I said to you. So this way, I really feel to speak to the Lord is really very helpful and very real, very practical. And so I have many other experiences. But then what I'm trying to say is many people know I had a job for many years. But then people said, many people thought I was full-time because they saw that I went to many, almost all the conferences and also went out to preach the gospel. Then they always asked me, how could you running around like a full-timer? But I always said to them, that is because I have good I have a good boss or good company, and they are very nice to me. But actually, the reason they were nice to me, I did not tell the other story. Why? That they were very good towards me, not to other people. That is because that is in the beginning of 1970, many big companies, they like to hire some people, not hire them, because if they hire them, then they have to give a lot of the benefit, and so that's very expensive, and so they hire these so-called consultant, and this consultant supposed to be a very they're all experts, but actually they are very really many times we have to teach them what to do. But then once my company hire a consultant and so to solve a problem, and so of course we use computer a lot, and I also use computer, but I don't need to write the computer. But that's my I was the boss, I was manager, so I just asked other people to do it. But then this consultant had a problem, or our company had a problem, and he always said, two more days, the problem will be over. He continued two more days. Then almost 6 months, he was still two more days. And by that time, my boss said to me, how about if you go to try, see what you can do? So then, since my big boss asked me to do this, I had to do it. So I just, then aside, I took this job. I just talked to the Lord. Lord, you know, I didn't ask for this project. And so my boss gave to me, what should I do? But just as I was talking with the Lord this way, it seems the Lord gave me a feeling. How about if you try that area? So we used computer many. We used many places. For many of you, if you have a computer, you know. So then, it seems the Lord said, how about if you try that area of the computer. So I did. I went to, surely enough, the problem was in that area, the computer area. So then it's right there. It was the problem. And therefore, within 1 week, I solved the problem. And this happened, this type of things happened at least twice. This time, of course, everybody was happy because that I quickly solved the problem. And it's, then another similar thing happened. Then again, it's a different consultant, but he could not solve the problem. And then I talked to the Lord, what to do. And it seems the Lord would always give me some kind of direction. But anyway, so the second time, also very quickly solved the problem. And my boss even took me out to have the lobster dinner. So when he took me to have this lobster dinner, then at that time I said to him, I said, I thank you for the lobster dinner, but I, how about, I said, what I want, I don't care for promotion, I don't care for adding salary, but I want more time. If I have to go, I have to go. Then my boss is very nice. He said, okay, whenever you need to go, you go. But just promise me you come back. I said, okay. Then he told his secretary and all the secretaries, I can go and stay. Don't even ask where will he go or when will he come back. So then so that's why I was very free. So that's why many people think I was full time. And so then later, another one came. They hire a new worker. He saw I'm so free. So he also went to see my boss. He said, I also want to be very free. And when I have to go, I need to go. And my boss said to him, oh, no problem. Whenever you want to go, you go, but don't come back. So all this, I don't say that because I'm smart. No, I'm not smart. But as I was talking to the Lord really many times, the Lord did speak to me. And so I don't say that every time it will be like this. And then, but I just know we all need to speak to the Lord and listen to the Lord speaking to us. And especially, you know, 1 John chapter 1 is a chapter of the fellowship. So we really need to see, really need to get into 1 John chapter 1. You know, that chapter in verse 5, it says, God is light. Not God has light. Of course God has light, but God is life. It's light. And then verse 7 says that if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. That means we will have fellowship with God. And then right away it says that the blood of his son, our Lord Jesus, will cleanse us all our iniquities. Now, to have fellowship with God is good or bad? Of course it's good. But why we need to have the Lord's blood right away? That is because before we touch the Lord, before we touch the light, we are in darkness. And how do we know whether a person is in darkness or in light? If a person all the time see other people's problems, always criticize other people, then you know he's in darkness. If I try to do this and I don't criticize myself, only criticize other people, I have to, right away, I have to be very careful. Now, am I in the darkness? Now, actually, many times, serving ones came to me and said, you know, in this service, I'm the only one knows what to do, and I'm only one diligent. All the other ones, they are just useless. Then I will always say that it is not that they are all useless. I'm afraid you are in darkness. If I have that kind of feeling, I will really, the first thing is I will have to go to the Lord and receive the Lord's light. And so, how do we know we are in the light? If we are in the light, then we will see so many things, that so many terrible things we have. And when we are in the light, we will see all the problems that we have, and then we don't have any time to look for other people's problems. And therefore, this matter, on one hand, we say we really need to find, we really need to talk to the Lord, and once we talk to the Lord will talk back to us, and in other words, the Lord will shine his light upon us. This is the thing. We need to fellowship with the Lord. And especially about a year ago, in one of the conferences, Brother Ron Kangas made this statement. Now, he said that, again, he encouraged us to speak to the Lord. In that message, he did say this. He said, when we speak to the Lord, actually, we are living Christ. You know, in the way back in the 1980, Brother Lee started to talk about live Christ. We try to make ourselves like a Confucius taught us, and so then we are so a good man. That is not good enough, but we need to live Christ and not live just a good man. And then Brother Lee did say this, but at that time, still, many of us felt practically, how do we live Christ? And so that time when Ron Kangas said, when we speak to the Lord, we are living Christ. And so that is a very practical thing. And so then by the Lord's mercy, the Lord gave me that cousin and asked me to start to talk to the Lord since I'm 6 years old. And then many other serving ones using different ways also try to help me to talk to the Lord, and then we can hear the Lord's speaking. And will we have mistakes? Of course, very mistakes. Then especially that I have seen when I grew up in the church life with a number of the same age brothers, but many of them, they said when they tried to speak to the Lord, when they tried to follow the inner anointing, very often with mistakes, make ourselves sometimes foolish, but therefore they stop, try to practice this way. But most of them, eventually, they left the church life. And so, by the Lord's mercy, I started to speak to the Lord when I was 6 years old. Today, I'm 76 years old. But I still don't have assurance that my feeling is correct or it's not the Lord speaking. So we cannot take anything for granted. But on the other hand, that we should not analyze. Once we analyze in our mind, then we will be confused. So just touch the Lord and just read the Bible. And so today I also have this in John chapter 5, verse 39 to verse 40. The Lord, this is what the Lord Jesus said. So, yeah. Okay, how about declare this again with our spirit? Amen. We search the scriptures, seeing that you have eternal life. It is these that testify concerning me, yet you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. But how can we come to the Lord? Practically, how can we come to the Lord? We need to talk to him. If we don't talk to him, how can... So this is the Lord's word. The Lord speaks to all of us in such a clear way. And yes, we should study the Bible. And so even the Pharisees, they also wanted to study the Bible. But if we do not come to the Lord, and you can read many verses, even try to study many verses, but yet you will not touch the life, because only Christ is life. And therefore, but the practical, the things that are really practical, we can have the real experience, is to speak to the Lord. Amen. And so if it is wrong, don't worry, because they are two very, there are two things can protect us. And this is why I also read this Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. We have to, again, will our feeling be wrong? Yes, definitely. Very often, even. But what is our protection? First, the Bible is our protection. If you think you have a feeling, and yet that feeling is definitely against what the Bible says, then you know that feeling is not of the Lord. And so that's why let's read. Okay, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3:15 and 16. Okay, here what I the first thing we have to see that is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, And even in the past, we mentioned this verse very often, and especially in the Young People's Conference and Summer School of the Truth, and we've really always bring them to this verse. And so what does this verse say? So it says in Colossians 3:15, it says, and let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So here is clearly, there's a thing called peace of Christ. Do we have peace of Christ? And the Lord Jesus said this to different ones very, very often. You know, sometimes the sinful woman was caught, and so the Lord said, whoever is not sinful, you can throw the first stone. And then everybody left. Then at the very end, what the Lord said to this sinful woman, he said, do not sin anymore. Right. And then he said, go in peace. So all the time, go in peace. Do you really have peace? If you don't have peace, there's no need to argue about anything. And so here we need to see that we have the peace of Christ. And if we have peace of Christ, then we can go ahead. And if we don't have the peace of Christ, then no need to argue anything. Why? Because the Bible does tell us. What the Bible say? It says that let peace of Christ arbitrate in your heart, and which also you will call. Okay, so what does that mean? That means let the peace of Christ arbitrate. The arbitrate means that he is what? Is the what? So you know, in all kind of the games, whether it's football or basketball, only the referee said, whatever the referee said, that counts. And if sometimes I did not watch those games often, but once a while when I saw that like baseball, and when the referee said this is a good ball, and the other of those people tried to argue with him, no, this is not a good ball, it is a bad ball. But then, no use. Still, whatever the referee says counts. In our life, only the peace of Christ is our referee. No need to argue. And we all know this. Regardless how much you can argue, because then you only put yourself into the realm of the knowledge of good and evil tree, not in the tree of life. And so we want to have life. We all need to live in the divine life. This is what we have, living in fellowship with God. If we do not fellowship with God, then our Christian life is only wasting time. And the Lord will still come back. Now, we are not judges. And we will not judge anyone. And only the Lord is the judge. And when he comes back, and he is the one judge our life today. Therefore, if we really want to be the wise virgin, it's better just listen to the Lord's word today. And so I just share this burden. Okay, so therefore, in verse 16, we just mentioned verse 15, and then in verse 16, let's read it together. So this, you can see that all these things shows that we are happy. Why some Christians are not happy? All the time have a long face. But if you really enjoy the Lord himself, and let the peace of Christ arbitrate in our life, and then we'll all be very happy. And then, so here... So we have, first, we have the Christ, the peace of Christ. And then this comes in our knowing the word, enjoy the Lord's word. And so when we know all the Bible, then anything against the Bible, then you know that is that feeling is not. Right. We often met this kind of situation, especially when the different couples, they came to me. The Bible tells us very clearly that the those who are Christians and those who are not Christians should not marry together. And then sometimes some couples came I know I should not marry an unbeliever, but this unbeliever is special. I'm sure that he would be, one day she would be saved, and this and that. But we always say it's better help, preach gospel to her, and help her to become a Christian first, and then. So the more they say, really, I tell you, I have peace. I really have peace. I'm not joking. This time I know I have peace. The more he said he had peace, the more I know he did not have peace. If he has peace, then he does not need to keep telling us that he has peace. So that shows that he does not have the peace. And therefore, but anyway... The word of God is our protection. Yeah. Then the second thing is the body is also our protection. Because the spirit lives in you, it's the same spirit lives in me. And therefore, if all the saints feel that what you think and what you insist on, then you need to pay attention to the body's feeling. Now, a number of years ago, and I still remember at the beginning of the school term, and all the serving ones, all the young people serving ones, about 70 or so, and they had the fellowship together. And there was one brother, he talked in their fellowship time, right away he talked, did not give anyone else any opportunity. He just keep talking. He said, this term we should do this. And after a long time, I wasn't there, but the other 70 saints told me that after he spoke for a long time, he did not see anyone say amen to whatever he said. Then eventually he said, only I am in the spirit. All of you are not in the spirit. No, don't ever say this. The more you say this, the more you put yourself in a very dangerous situation. So I just say this, and we need to establish an intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus. This is our Christian life. This is what the Christian life should be. And then also we need to pay attention to the Lord's. We need to speak to him. We need to listen to his voice. And then we will be okay to go on together. Okay.
Before we break up, I want to share with you briefly. I thought it was important that what we heard this morning, actually the burden for this week is living to fellowship with God, right? And that was the title. And I thought it was very interesting that our brother actually didn't say too much about Abraham, but rather he gave us his own personal testimony. And he told us the practical way to fellowship with God is to talk to him, right? And of course, that is the portion from Genesis chapter 18, how Abraham talked to God. And I have this question, how did Abraham know how to talk to God, right? And because when God told him what he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah, what triggered or who taught Abraham how to talk to God, right? Now, God told him something, and I thought from our brother's testimony, it's very interesting. When he was 6 years old, he also learned to talk to God. And really, there are circumstances and so on, but who taught him that? Actually, he mentioned about his baptism 2 days afterwards. The mother became joined the Catholic Church and wanted him to, and so you can see God's sovereignty. So I think it made this point very clear. You see, as I have mentioned last week and recently to the saints, and this is really my burden, and I think that proves that point. I want to underline that point. That is the innate ability God has put into us. Actually, I have mentioned to the saints when God created man with, of course, spirit, soul, and body, actually, in our spirit, God has put in these innate abilities, in which include our desire to search for God, and our desire to fellowship with him, and our desire to pray. Actually, pray is a God-given, innate ability. Now, sometimes, maybe, as our brother's testimony, I thought it was very interesting in his innocent way when he heard that you can ask God anything. And when he practiced that, then he realized that wasn't the proper kind of prayer. So, in other words, we can talk to God based on the God-given innate ability. And we need to exercise that. And don't be afraid you might make a mistake. We should do that. We should exercise our innate ability without presumption. Don't think, this is what I want. And this may not be what God wants to give to you. Now, but unless we ask, unless we do that, we don't know that we will make a mistake. So I think this exercise, the innate God-given ability, is very important. Otherwise, we cannot live a life that is in fellowship with God. Okay, that's the first point. And the second point, actually, that was, I'm repeating what I said last Lord's Day, to use today's burden to confirm, use it as an example to what my sharing was. And the second was that we must exercise our will. We must exercise our will to overcome the inertia. In the fall of man, there is a strong inertia. Now, what is this inertia? This inertia is to prevent us from exercising the innate God-given ability, including talking to him. okay, including donkey. So I think this is really wonderful. I mean, this is very important, and I feel even though the time is up and for the saints to go to fellowship one with one another, I feel I need to emphasize this point, okay, to have a living in fellowship with him, we need to exercise the God-given Amen. Ability. Amen. This ability to talk to him, to fellowship with him, is God-given. Amen. You don't need to go to a school not because you attend a class or finish the course, therefore you know how to talk to God. No, that is God-given. And we must be not afraid to exercise it. And you say, well, yeah, I may talk to him wrong. That's all right. Just don't be presumptuous, okay? And we should exercise it without being presumptuous, because otherwise we would never exercise our will. Okay? The inertia will stop us from doing, you know, how can you talk to God? How can you fellowship with him? You are not deserving. Well, you know, there is the word of God. There's First John chapter 1, and God is light, and the blood is available to us, and we must not be afraid to come forward to him, exercising the God-given innate ability. So I hope that in this new school year, particularly with our young people, I hope that you all exercise your will to have a living in fellowship with God.